for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, August 31st, 2007. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on the Spirit of the Bride of Satan.
Father, we just thank you for being here with us today, this afternoon, Lord, to deliver this message. I can tell it to them, but Lord, you must reveal what I'm telling so they can understand it, receive it, and be free from it. That's my request, Lord. I ask you to send mighty guardian angels to stand guard over us and mighty angels of deliverance for deliverance to assist in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is going to be kind of a different message for me. I usually don't teach anything that I haven't experienced myself, but God's been bringing me into areas that I haven't experienced because, truthfully, I haven't experienced very much. I mean, I lived a very sheltered life, and therefore, I don't have a lot of the things that have happened to y'all have happened to me. But here's the ironic thing about all of us. We're all exactly the same. Even though I've never been molested, I had fear of man. I had tons of things that came down generationally because there was stuff like that in my family line. So I suffered the repercussions of it and the manifestations of it when it had never happened to me. Isn't that cruel? I mean, that's how demons are cruel. We're living with monsters that we had nothing to do with. Some of them we had things to do with, but many of them we didn't have things to do with. And this revelation of this came to me by word of knowledge, praying for someone here, that I had read, I told y'all, all of Frank Marzullo's little booklets. I had read all of them. But, you know, the Spirit of the Bride of Satan, kind of like, huh? Well, I read it, and I understood it as much as I could. But in praying for this woman, it came to my memory, and I said, okay, well, here we go. So I bound the spirit of the bride of Satan, and this person became catatonic. I mean, she checked out, and things began to happen, and it was quite startling. So I thought, wow, that's really, and she was set free. And this is something that had plagued her since all of her life, as far back as she could remember. So the Lord laid this on my heart as I was praying, Lord, what should I bring to the ladies? And this is what He laid on my heart. And I know now that this is a spirit that plagues a lot of us for many different reasons, but we're just going to discover the spirit of the bride of Satan. And the way that spirit comes into us is through mostly idolatry. And we are all guilty of idolatry because rebellion is the highest form of idolatry that there is. And rebellion is when we partake of anything that the Word says we are not to partake of. So in our ignorance, if we weren't raised in a home where the Word of God was taught and we didn't know any better, like playing with Ouija boards, like having our palms read, like having our handwriting analyzed, like playing with the little eight ball, name some other things that, horoscopes, reading our horoscopes, and tarot cards.
Tea leaves.
Yeah. See, a lot of things, and it's different for every culture. Every culture has their little witchcraft. don't see it as witchcraft, but it is blatant witchcraft. Anytime we look to anything besides God, it is idolatry. And we, as Christians, are the bride of Christ. But when we partake of things that God has told us not to touch, then we allow, we're committing spiritual adultery because we've left our groom, our first love of Jesus, and we're seeking after knowledge or advice or whatever from another source besides God, and that is how the spirit of the bride of Satan comes in. You see how it's a parallel. Everything God has, Satan copies. You know, we were given a guardian angel at our birth, but I learned this too from Frank Marzullo. When we were born, God appoints a guardian angel, and Satan's over here, and he appoints an unholy angel that's with us all of our life. So I gave leave to that unholy angel off of my grandbaby when she was born. I give leave to the unholy angel that Satan has assigned that pulls in the direction against God. So the spirit of the bride of Satan, and we're gonna explore some other ways that it comes in. And what happens is, when that spirit comes in, of course, he has a host of other spirits that go with it. And unfortunately, they're all perverse. Much of it is sexual. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because in his travels and doing deliverance, he just happened upon this spirit. Because the woman said, I am the bride of Satan. You know, and so, you know, lots of times the demons will just flat out tell you who they are. And so he delivered this woman from, and it was a tremendous deliverance. And so after that, he began to target this spirit everywhere he went because it's all over the place. And Satan has his greatest power in the areas of our, I call them secret sins, but it's things that we have that we would never discuss with anybody else. You know, I taught on sexual sin here, secret sins. We didn't have the recording thing going, and I didn't want it recorded because I was revealing some things about myself. And after I did it, I thought, Lord, I am sorry. Of course, the recorder had been loaned out. It wasn't even here. But I'm sorry that wasn't on tape. Because how many women would get freedom from things that are tormenting them, but they're so shameful, so embarrassing, and that's exactly how Satan likes it. Man, he does not want you to talk about the very thing that you need to talk about. Because as long as you don't talk about it, he can stay there and torment you. And it is tormenting. Okay, so the spirit of the bride of Satan is a counterfeit of the bride of Christ. And he said that he talked to, I think it was the woman who had the spirit of the bride of Satan, said that she had been an ex-witch, and she said that at Halloween, witches have a ceremony. They choose one witch to become the bride of Satan for 1 year. And what that means is she commits all kinds of perversion, depraved sex, and fornication with Satan. Even though he's a spirit, he will take his rights if you give them to him. And this spirit is one that will give permission for spirits to come and have sex with you. Now, that sounds crazy. I know before I came here, if anybody had told me that, I would have gone, who are you fooling? What's his name? But anyway, it is true. And now that I understand this, I can see where it can be a cause of young boys when they are coming into puberty to have wet dreams. You know, they actually have an ejaculation in their sleep. Women can also have this. It's happened to me. I mean, I will wake up and there is a physical thing going on. Now, I didn't know about these spirits or I would have come against them. And I wonder, is that a spirit? Was that a spirit? I believe that it was, because they will come and stimulate you, and there will even be physical evidence that it has taken place. So this is not a figment of anyone's imagination, okay? These spirits can come in by using or playing with Ouija boards, going to a witch to have your fortune told, horoscopes, hypnotism. That's another way that it can come in, because you don't know what happens to you when you get hypnotized, but there is a spirit that comes in of control. If someone hypnotizes you, they can. We've seen these acts, you know, where men are hypnotists and they'll bring people up on the stage and tell them to do stupid things, and they do them, and then everybody laughs, and when it's over, he wakes them up, and they go back and sit down, and they don't even remember what they did. Anytime you give your will over to somebody else, you're asking for it. So it can happen even with hypnotism or any occult practices. When you step into that kingdom of darkness, you have, and a lot of times this happens before you even become a Christian. So when you become, let's say you've been involved in all this stuff, and then you become a Christian, and you think automatically you become the bride of Christ. Well, you can renounce all those things, but unless those spirits have been cast out, there's still a presence there. And so, I don't know why God put this on my heart for this particular camp. Maybe there's going to be some good deliverance here. So, you have to renounce them and cast them out. Sometimes it can be the cause of fear, loneliness, and depression. So, it could be after you became a Christian, that spirit is kind of in hiding, and it causes other things to happen to you. It causes you to be fearful, causes you to be depressed or lonely, and you don't even know why. Have you ever been lonely and you're not even lonely? You know, I could have a fear. I feel fearful, but I'm not scared. I might feel hungry, and I'm not even hungry. Or angry, but you're not angry. You know, these are unexplained things. Okay, also, it can be the root of a spirit of lust, because Satan is nasty, and the spirit of lust is ugly. When I can see a picture of it, it's like a dog, a male dog, around a female in heat. You know, they're just disgusting. That lust spirit is disgusting. And I'll tell you, I had an experience with the spirit of lust one time. My dad died in 84 and my mother remarried, and he was a veterinarian, and he was known about town in his younger years as kind of a ladies' man. So a lot of people weren't too happy when he started dating my mother. But he got saved after he married my mama, so all of his kids are very grateful that he married Mama, because he had had like three wives before her. But anyway, he was dying with cancer. Now, he was probably, I guess, in his early 80s when he died. And my mother was taking care of him at home. And he had become, life was just being drained out of him. He still was able to sleep in the bed. But my mother would have to help him into bed, put on his pajamas, help him to the bathroom, help him in and out of the shower. You know, he just could do very little for himself. There was no life left in the man. Well, she called me one day and she said, "You will never believe what he was trying to do last night." And I said, "What?" "He was trying to get on top of me." And I said, "What? That half-dead bag of bones?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, could he have?" And she said, "No. It would have killed him." I said, "Well, hey. What a way to go, Mama." And I didn't think anything of it, really. I had no thoughts about this, only how weird. Okay, so Now he got even weaker. He's dying. We're just waiting. He's in a hospital bed in her little TV room, and it was around Christmas, and she had been tied, you know, to the house and worn out. I mean, help was coming now, but still, it was just tiring waiting. So I said, Mama, I'm gonna come down there, and I want you just to take the day. If you want to go shopping, go shopping. If you want to sit in the living room and do nothing, do that. But I'm going to come and sit with him, and you can have some rest. So I went down there, and I'd been praying for God to come get him because he wasn't eating anymore. He couldn't talk. I mean, he was just laying there in a sleep. So she decided that she would go and have coffee with her sister or something. And I was in the room, and I picked up his hand, and I was just praying for God to come and get him, because just to relieve him. Thankfully, he was never in any pain. He was just wasting away. So while I was holding his hand, the bed was against the wall. It was a small room, and the bed was against the wall. And he was laying, and his face was toward the wall. And I picked up his hand, and I was praying. And all of a sudden, his head came. As I look back on it, it was really weird. It was like he wasn't moving his head, but his head was moving. It just very mechanically, methodically turned like this, and those eyes popped open. And I was like, I thought he was going to talk to me. And I just looked at him, but it was not. What was so weird is, you know, someone who's dying does not have wide awake, very alive eyes. And I knew, that's not Edward. Well, anyway, so his eyes opened, and he looked at me and gave a very seductive wink. And I know that the demon was really trying to just freak me out, and he did. But I don't think he knew it, because I didn't respond. It's like when things like this happen, it's like God is just saying, just look, don't react, just watch. So I just was looking at him, and then he winked, and I couldn't even believe that I was seeing that. And then his eyes closed, and his head just methodically turned right back in the position that it was. Well, I got out of the room. I let go of his hand, and I didn't go back in there the whole day. I mean, if he died, he just died. So my mother came in, and we talked about where she'd been and everything, and then I was driving home. It was nighttime now, and I'm driving down this long stretch of highway, pitch black dark, and I thought about that, and I said, Lord, what was that? And he said, he had a spirit of lust. And I thought, yuck. I said, isn't it amazing that there that man is laying? Now, the flesh body that the spirit was in died, dead. No life in it at all. But that spirit was alive and well. And then I thought about, that's what that was, trying to crawl on top of Mama. It gave me a whole new understanding of the scripture. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. His flesh was weak, but that spirit was willing. So that spirit of lust comes with the bride of Satan. Even though he had been saved, he no longer went with other women, but all of those soul ties that he had been with all these other women were right there with him. So it's a very real thing. Well, it can come in with occultism. If you fool with occultism, and all of these things are occultism, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. There it is. And we've all rebelled. So it doesn't matter if you've never had your palm read. And that's why when we come to camp, we don't really understand a lot of the things that we hear right away, but you participate in the prayers anyway. Regardless of what it is, you participate in the prayers because you don't know what's in you. We really don't know what's in us. That seed came, seed, seed, seed. You know, you can take a handful of seeds and throw it and all kinds of things come up. And we are the result of a lot of seed. okay, can also come in like with the New Age movement. It's really Hinduism. It's just Hinduism is all in the world it is. Reincarnation, channeling, evolutionism, Eastern mysticism, humanism, globalism, and futurism. All of those things. Whenever you are involved in false religions like this, Satanism, Hinduism, just about all of these, you know, they want you to, you know, clear your mind. And what happens is some evil spirit comes in. You become a god. The Indians had a lot of this in them. Indians, they had the spirit guides. They would take on animal spirits. And, you know, even, this is not part of the thing, but I've been looking into clubs and lodges and vows and secret societies and all of that. Same thing. They take oaths. They don't have any idea what they're oathing to. They really don't. There's words in there, and a lot of them sound biblical. They'll think, oh, I've heard that word before in the Bible. This must be okay. It's not. There's mixture in there. They throw in just a little to keep you okay with it, but it's really demonic. So when you get into these things, you are becoming the bride of Satan. It's very common. Crystals, if you've ever fooled with crystals, wear amulets. Like, I know different cultures have different amulets. The Italians wear that fertility horn, and the Irish have theirs, and the Catholics have theirs, and the Scottish have theirs, and almost every culture has their amulet that tells you, you know, you can tell kind of where they're coming from or what's in their bloodline by the things they wear. And these amulets are power devices for the entry of spirit guides, which are really just demons. You can wear things that will attract certain demons. That's why it's very important that you know what kind of jewelry you're wearing, especially like when you buy them at a reservation or you go overseas and, you know, you go to Africa and you bring home things. Those things attract spirits, and you don't want to bring those things in your house. I know, you know, it's like some people will think, oh, my gosh, you're just getting off the wall. Well, you know, you better get them off your wall. You better take those things off your wall. I'm off the wall, but I'm telling you, you better get those things off your wall because demons are hanging around them. There's also a spirit of, a major spirit in Satan's kingdom called Kundalini, and it's involved with yoga. Now, yoga is a big deal thing today. It is, every commercial you see, they've got some form of yoga or, you know, the exercises, the peace, and, you know, all these. And, you know, people say, well, I just do that to, it's just, you know, it's good stretching. Yeah, but what you don't know is every one of those postures is a form of worship to one demon or another. They don't tell you that. And churches are even bringing these things in. Karate, same thing. And people just sign their children up and send them off to these people, and they don't have the slightest idea what it's all about. And that spirit, Kundalini, okay, it's talking about a Swami Vishnu Devananda. Is an expert of yoga. It declares that the supreme power of nature is a coiled serpent laying at the base of the spine. That's what this yoga is all about, is this goddess. She's the goddess Shakti, whom Hindus believe is the giver of immortality and eternal happiness. Now, who gives immortality and eternal happiness? God alone. So when you involve yourself in these things, you're really involving yourselves with a false god, which is idolatry, which allows an open door for the spirit of the bride of Satan to come in. Shakti can only fulfill her promise by achieving union with Shiva, or Shiva, her consort. Shiva is one member of the Hindu Trinitarian Godhead of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. The Swami explains that Shiva resides at the center of the forehead between the eyebrows. The snake is coiled around the spine, and the head is like right here between the eyebrows. It's also known in witchcraft as the third eye, the all-seeing eye. You know, they say that's God, but that third eye is witchcraft. According to the Swami, the purpose of yoga is to arouse the serpent of Shakti, sometimes called Kundalini, so that she rises through the Shushama, a hollow canal said to be running through the spinal cord. That's why, you know, you'll hear Doc speaking to the serpentine spirit. Shakti passes through six chakras, or spiritual energy centers. The seventh chakra, her destination, is Shiva. Once Shakti merges with Shiva, union or yoga is achieved. So you see, yoga is not just exercise. They're opening the door for evil spirits, even Kundalini, to enter in. Okay? The word says that we are given victory over serpent and scorpion spirits, right? Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Jesus mentions these two categories of evil spirits, serpents and scorpions. Okay? Satan used the serpent to deceive Eve. And the serpent is representative of Satan. In this present age, I believe Satan has commissioned serpent or Kundalini and scorpion spirits to beguile, torment, and capture souls through yoga and other forms of occultism such as witchcraft and devil worship. So that's how these spirits come in. He says, I found that where there is a spirit of the bride of Satan, Kundalini, or witchcraft spirits, you can also expect to find scorpion spirits. They're all buddies. See, one spirit comes in, but they always invite their friends who will cooperate and work together. They're destructive. Of course, everything that Satan is over is destructive. His only purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. And the names of Abaddon and Apollyon means destruction. They are the ruler spirits over all of these destructive things. And so that form of destruction can be depression, loneliness, and ultimately suicide, or some kind of infirmity unto death. So see, when you participate in things that God has said not to participate in, you're inviting all this in. It could be the root to why you have these spirits of loneliness and depression, oppression, death wishes, or some kind of an infirmity that will cause your death. So those spirits have to be commanded out, these ruler spirits. Now sometimes you can have, because Satan's kingdom is just like the military. They have stronger ones, and ones under them, and ones under them. And so we could call out depression, loneliness, and all of those. But if we don't get Kundalini and the spirit of the bride of Satan, Abaddon and Apollyon, they stick. Their cover is still there. The strong man is still there. And even though you're delivered of these things, because the strong man is still there, the door is still open, they can come right back in. That's why we see people get delivered, and then they're back for more deliverance, because we didn't really get to the root. Fear is another type of demonic torment and destruction. Persons that are overcome by weakness, a lack of spiritual power, timidity, shyness, rejection, self-hate, confusion, or mental disorder is a manifestation of the spirit of fear, and Apollyon is the source. Now, like I said earlier, some of these things have been in our family lines for years and years, and they've just been passed down generation to generation. And what I find and am experiencing in my own family is that when you have spirits that are not dealt with in one generation, in the next generation, they have a stronger foothold. a stronger home. They're more active. They have more power, more control over your family. So we really want to get rid of this thing in us. It multiplies with generation, each generation. Now, there are Indian spirits, and these can be the ruler spirit of murder and rage. He tells the story of a woman who came up for prayer. She had Indian in her background, but that she didn't know that that had anything to do with the reason that sometimes she said, "I love my husband dearly, but sometimes I just want to slit his throat. You know, I'll have these thoughts." And she said, "I don't want to kill him. I don't feel murder towards him, but I have these thoughts." Well, he found out that she had Indian in her background, and it was, he was not Indian, and there was that spiritual thing between the Indians and the pale face. And so he was the pale face, and that Indian spirit in her wanted to scalp him, wanted him dead. So sometimes it can be from our culture. The serpent spirit sometimes can be the cause of lower body pain because it's coiled around a person's lower body. So, you know, you have people that just their whole bottom part of their, they have leg trouble and feet trouble, and it sometimes can be caused by this serpent spirit that is wrapped around them and causing circulation problems and pain, and that could be that serpent spirit. Okay, now I want to switch over to another little booklet called Incubus and Succubus, because whenever you have the spirit of the bride of Satan at work in your life, those perverse spirits will be at work. And I don't know if, how many of you have never heard of incubus and succubus? Okay? Okay. A spirit, when a spirit comes to have sex with a person, the incubus spirit is the spirit that takes on the form of a male and goes to have sex with females. Now, I remember which one is which by the incubus. The man's got to go in the woman. So I remember I-N for incubus. And the succubus is the one that takes on the female, because that's what the male's like, is oral sex. And that's what they do. The female. And, you know, years ago, that movie Ghostbusters, I don't know how many of y'all saw it, but that, whoever did that movie knew some stuff. Because there was a spirit that hovered over this bed, and the spirit had thrown the man down on the bed, and he was just like at the mercy of the spirit. And he's just laying there, he's not moving, and she's up here floating, but his belt buckle comes undone and his pants are unzipped. And I didn't, you know, that didn't mean anything to me then. I didn't even know what was happening, but now that I know about these spirits, I know that's exactly what was happening. That was an incubus spirit. And in that movie, it's kind of funny. I laughed at it then because I didn't know anything about demons. But there was a spirit of gluttony on there. And it was this big green round thing with a great big mouth. And it was turning over all of the trays in the hotel and, you know, just gobbling the food. And I thought, wow. Now, you know, I think about those things and I think, wow. That whoever did that movie really knew stuff. But that's what the incubus and the succubus is. It's a spirit that will come if you're a woman and have sex with you. And sometimes if, like this, I've heard of this happening with women who lost their husbands and they miss that husband so bad. They just, oh, if I could just hear his voice, if I could just hold his hand again. And then, lo and behold, someone shows up in their bedroom at night, and it's their husband. They'll say, my husband came and visited me. So what do you mean? before I knew about this. What do you mean? Oh, it was, I said, it could, no, he's dead. I know, but it was him. It was his voice, unmistakably. I could smell his aftershave, you know, the sound of his voice and everything. Well, in a lot of cultures, they will converse with the dead. And that is, in Deuteronomy 18, God specifically says, you do not converse with the dead. That's necromancy. It's called necromancy, and it's talking to the dead. Was it Saul? Mm-hmm. Saul, who went to the witch to have Samuel raised up. So you just don't do that. And in the what will happen is that person, well, how do you explain it then? Well, it was a familiar spirit. We have spirits that travel with our families. Every demon that's been in our family for all those years are present. We don't see them, but they're here. And if you went to one of these, like these people that have these shows, Beyond the Dead, or, you know, that people come and say, I was just wondering if you knew anything about my aunt or my grandmother or my sister or whatever, and they start talking about the dead person, and the person is standing there just, oh, they're so excited. And or if, like, you've seen people that will go out into an audience and take a person's driver's license just at random, and the person who has the gift begins to name off the number of the person or their address or some unknown fact on their driver's license. And people are taken in by this because, look at that. That's really real. Well, yeah, it's really real. But he doesn't have a gift. He has a demon. His demon and her demons are over there saying, he lives at 147. And we don't hear it. We don't see it. And the man doesn't either, but the spirits are conversing, and then the spirit tells him the name of somebody's dog or what kind of old car they drove or, you know, what their favorite drink was or, you know, all these things. This is all demonic, and we are to have nothing to do with that. It opens the door. Oh, it's fascinating. People are just really fascinated by this stuff, but God says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and there are a lot of Christians who don't even know this stuff. Because we don't hear about this stuff in church. We're going to be, soon we're going to have to, because these things are speeding up, they're multiplying. When people go to their pastors and start saying, something's having sex with me in my bed at night, you know, I mean, these pastors are going to be looking for answers. Hopefully. That's right. Yeah, they'll probably. But anyway, it really is, and people are going to start seeking answers to these things because it's tormenting. It is really tormenting. Okay, so that's what the incubus and succubus is. And so if you ever hear of anybody saying that their grandmother came to them last night or whoever, you can be able to tell them because, you know, I use the scriptures of Abraham and Lazarus. You know, when Lazarus died, he went to heaven and the beggar went to hell, and he could see him in Abraham's bosom. And there was a gulf. It said, the word says there is a gulf fixed, and nothing comes down from there to here, and nothing comes from there up to there. I mean, it is a demon spirit, a familiar spirit that takes on the smell, the sound, the mannerisms to fool you. So we have to really be careful about giving over to things like this. Okay, so the familiar spirits, that's a false, he's got that under a false comforter. You know, when someone dies and you don't deal with your grief, then you can open up a door for familiar spirits to come and visit. That's what's called a false comforter, because we're supposed to get our comfort from God, right? The Holy Spirit. Okay. So we're going to see, and a lot of these things will be hiding in the reproductive organs. That's their favorite place, because that's where all the sexual activity is, you know? So they will hide in your ovaries or your uterus. They will hide in your breast. They'll hide in your mouth, your throat, depending on which spirit is active in your life or if it's active in your life. And I'm not saying that we all have these, but it's more prevalent than we realize. And it's a biggie, the spirit of the bride of Satan. It's a biggie. So we want to get rid of him. Okay, well, why don't we just, do y'all have any questions? No. The Kundalini, which is the serpent, comes in through Hinduism, meditation, yoga. That's where the serpent spirit comes in. The Kundalini spirit is the serpent, which is tied to Hinduism and yoga. Yeah, it's not linked to like a serpent or anything. It's just a spirit. Yeah, Lamaze. Yeah, if you've had Lamaze for pregnancy, that's also a form of hypnotism. Yes. He is a strong man. Well,
somebody that it was hypnotized.
Hypnotized. You open the door for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean that whoever hypnotized you put that spirit in you, but whenever you allow yourself to be hypnotized, it opens the door for that spirit to come in. Yeah, because you're looking to something, someone else other than God, which is idolatry, and so you open the door for the bride of Satan to come in. Okay. Well, when we start praying, maybe it'll just come on out. Are we stirring up the snake, the Kundalini, or, you know, we really don't know what our ancestors did, but that's what's good about this. Oh, well, okay. Well, the bride of Satan is probably getting a little nervous, I would imagine. Okay, any more? It's in the same line as hypnotism. Anybody else? Does this stuff make sense to you? But basically, what I was concerned with was things that have come down through our family line that could have invited the bride of Satan into our lives and been reinforced with each thing that we have partaken of that God said don't do. You know, any reading tea leaves, having your fortunes told. Now, sexual things like the spirit of lust and fantasy lust, sometimes, anytime you take part in self-gratification, masturbation, self-stimulation, even reading novels that stir up lust and bring you into a fantasy world. Fantasy is a really dangerous. It's a devil's playground. Fantasy is full of demons and demon activities. One of these days, I will do a teaching on all of these orders that we've heard enough about the Masonic order that we know that it's questionable, if nothing else. It's demonic, but people that are instilled in that, families that, oh, it was my daddy and my daddy's daddy and my daddy's daddy's daddy, you know, and all of this, you're stirring up a sacred cow right there. And, of course, we shouldn't be concerned with their sacred cows. I'm concerned with their freedom. You know, here it is. Now, if you want to be free, I really have looked at this because some of y'all know, some of you don't, that my oldest son was swept into the Mormon church. I mean, he was raised in the Word of God. We had, you know, devotionals every morning. He belongs to Jesus. How in the world? That was my question. Lord, how? How in the world was he swept into this? Well, my grandfather was a Mason, and he taught, you know, the secret work to other guys, and my grandmother was in the Eastern Stars, and all this stuff. Well, I have some papers that I read through, and I can't tell you the number of things that being in the Masonic Lodge or a descendant from someone who was in the Masons can cause learning disabilities, deception. They are easily, because the spirit of deception is there. It's passed down and it's passed down. So my son had the spirit of deception through my grandfather with the Masonic Lodge, and he was deceived. It was easy for him to be deceived and swept into that Masonic. Yes, they have the same emblems in their ritual rooms, and I mean, it's just amazing. And that hard of hearing, loss of hearing, is tied to the Masonic Lodge. Yeah, spiritual blindness, which is, yeah, deception and idolatry and all kinds of things. But one of these days, I mean, even the Boy Scouts, which a lot of churches are involved in the Boy Scouts, in this Eagle Scout that we just, you know, I'm telling you, the Boy Scouts is so full of Indian witchcraft. I mean, they are given an animal spirit, you know, the spirit of the wolf. And, you know, they have these little nicknames, these Indian nicknames, and it is full of Indian witchcraft. And so many people are in this, and they don't understand. I'm not sure they would want to understand, because it's so, the world just is so enamored, if that's the correct word, with all of these things.
It took a while.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well, that, you know, that's why I haven't done it, because I just know a piece. But, you know, sometimes I think, well, maybe I don't have to have all the knowledge. Let's just take care of what we do know. Oh, I'm sure it was. But, I mean, just to introduce to people, think about the lodges. I mean, people who've gone to college and were in fraternities and sororities. You know, that was the thing. And you don't know. It's just like that thing that came out about the president being in that skull and crossbones thing. You know, you take oaths, and you don't play around with oaths. God said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and anything beyond that is evil. So all of these oaths that people have taken in whatever they belonged in, those things have to be broken and cast out, not just renounced, but the spirits that came with it have to be cast out, or they're still hanging around and causing problems. So, what other, well, actually, not only the Catholicism, but every religion, of course, the Catholicism is with a lot in the Spanish community, Irish, isn't Irish, Italians, what other nationalities are predominantly Catholic? What other religions are there with other cultures? The teaching that I do with everybody is it's going to be on idolatry, and it touches on medicine. I'm not knocking medicine, but I'm here to tell you that in the Word, in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about sorcery. And when you look up the word sorcery, it means witchcraft. And when you look up the word witchcraft, it means pharmakia. And that means anybody who uses a drug. That's where we get our word pharmacy, pharmaceutical. It is idolatry, you know? We have to be careful, because these things become a substitute for what we are supposed to be getting from God. So it's idolatry, no matter how you look at it. I mean, I've tiptoed around this long enough. I'm just saying, hey, let me just give you the meaning of sorcery, and you get what you want from it. I'm not going to say yay medicine, nay medicine. This is what sorcery means, and it talks about medicine. Medicine. Now, we need it, like Ish said, use your medicine until your faith, but develop your faith through the Word, and get to the place where you don't need the medicine, because God is going to take care of your infirmities. He's already done it. He said it is finished. Yes. You know, so I won't go into any more of that. But I'm going to put medicine in there, because that covers the shock treatments. It covers x-rays. It covers sonograms. It covers all of that stuff, everything in the medical world. Well, that's another story all in itself. Now, you know what? Cocaine is an herb. Need I say more? I mean, what is it? We're going to not trust medicine, but we're going to trust in herbs. Okay, prescription drugs is bad. Let's go get some leaves of some kind or another. You know, let's not take uppers. Let's take something that ginkgo gabola or whatever they call that stuff. You know, are we? Why should we have mind trouble? The word says we have the mind of Christ. So activate it every day. Activate the mind of Christ. We have been given the mind of Christ. So you shouldn't have any memory problems. Quit saying I have memory problems. True. That's right. That's right. I take a multivitamin because I don't eat right. I don't have this many fruits and this many vegetables. No. They depend on it. That's right. That's the line that makes the difference. Whatever would cause you to lose your peace if you couldn't have it is an idol. That's right. Bless your medication. Just say, Lord, I'm going to take this until I have, I develop my faith to believe you for every single thing in my life. Well, but fear is on the other side of that. And Lord, right now, I just put everyone's mind at peace. This is not to stir up fear or anxiety or any of that. It's just to make us aware specifically about the bride of Satan. That's what we want to address. Let's focus back in on the bride of Satan. But medicine is, and let me tell you, as far as like blessing, I mean, somewhere in the future I'll teach on some things God's been showing me about witchcraft, but I recently, someone gave me this DVD that I watched from Nigeria. And there was a witch on there, and she was telling how she's a witch, and she has power in her forehead, and power in her hands, and power in her legs, and power in her vagina, and she has sex with men, and she catches the sperm and takes it to their kingdom. And the prophet said, and what do you do with it? She said, we add it to chemicals when we make lipstick and eyeliners. Don't think the next morning I said, Lord, I'm asking you to bless my makeup. Cleanse it. I break any curses that were placed on these chemicals in Jesus' name. But, you know, there is so much. Satan is a sneaky, hidden. He likes things that are hidden and working in ways that we don't know. But we are to be... we are not to be ignorant of his devices. And that's why I want, you know, us to have this knowledge that we are not ignorant of his devices so that he doesn't have power in our lives in that area anymore. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the bride of Christ, men and women are in the bride of Christ. The bride of Satan just means, you know, all of those who follow him and connect themselves to him. But that's a good question, because spirits, the incubus and the succubus spirits will always take on male or female. The rest of the spirits, not real picky. Yeah, they don't need to be male or female. They are just personalities. They, you know, lust, and everybody can have lust. Everybody can have jealousy. Everybody can have, but the incubus is basically, and who knows, the incubus, I don't know. The incubus could go to a man, because if there's a homosexual spirit there, they could be participating in that. Same with the succubus spirit with a woman, could have oral sex with a woman. So, okay. So we'll put medicine in there with Catholicism and occult, and I'll probably be flipping pages to... Okay, and the first thing I want to do is I want you to ask God to reveal to you, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, bring to your memory, if all of these activities that you may have participated in. Like, I was in one meeting, I had forgotten that when I was a young girl, at the fair that we had that would come to town, they always had this big computer thing, and you could do your handwriting, and it would tell you, you know, how smart you were and how all this stuff. But we always did that. But But even though we just did it for fun, you're opening the door. You don't mess with the devil's stuff for any reason. Because we may do it for fun, but he's deadly serious. He's just looking for an opportunity.
This phrase that you said about incubus don't belong to the bride of Satan, or they are separate spirits?
Well, they're all tied in, but they can, well, they're all connected with Satan and the bride of Satan. Yeah, the fortune cookies. See, that's another okay, it's the Hinduism. What are the Japanese gods? Okay, ancestor worship. Do y'all know what ancestor worship is? What is it? Oh, yeah, worship of animals. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, it's like you have ancestor worship. It's like you're so tied up with your family. You worship your parents and everything that they do. If they're this religion and you're that religion too, no matter what your heart may be wanting to do, you're going to do what your ancestors did because of tradition and honor and loyalty and all that stuff. Ancestor worship. Yeah, reincarnation. That's all in the Hinduism, isn't it? Okay, Hinduism. And so when we say Hinduism, that's going to cover meditation, if you've been in transcendental meditation, yoga, and that kundalini, the scorpion spirits. I could get all these down on one page, so it would have to be, well, I have them underlined and circled, so. Okay, so just let's just go into prayer. Ask the Lord to remind you of any of these activities that you might have been a part of, witchcraft, any kind of witchcraft, water witching, looking for water with that stick. I know pregnant women, a lot of times they'll take a pencil and a string and do this thing that is totally witchcraft.
The needle.
Yeah. Every bit of that. So just begin to ask the Lord to remind you of any of these activities that you were a part of. Any time that you have gone anywhere else for information or guidance besides God or a godly mentor, anything like that. Holy Spirit, come and show us the areas that we need deliverance from. Lord, this bride of Satan, right now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of the bride of Satan. I bind you right now in every person. And when we do deliverance, when we cast out this spirit, I command the spirit to come out without hurt and without destruction, but to come out on the breath. We can take a deep breath and blow out. That's how you get rid of demons. They come in and go out on the breath. Every time Jesus cast out a spirit, you know, said it there with a loud scream. So, but we have power over these spirits, and we don't have to have a fiasco in here. Those spirits can come out on the breath, but you participate and you take a deep breath in and blow out. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit, not of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, if there's any spirits that were not mentioned or discussed in this session, I tell you to come to attention right now and be ready to file out in the name of Jesus. So we'll just start with the spirit of the bride of Christ. Let's make a confession. Father,
forgive me
for any activity that I have participated in that has opened the door for the spirit of the bride of Satan to enter in, even in my generational bloodline, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I bind the spirit of the bride of Satan and command it to leave me now. In Jesus' name, I'll take a deep breath and blow it out. Say, go. You bride of Satan, go. I command you to leave me in Jesus' name. Anybody, I want to add, anybody that's been molested or raped or violated in any way sexually, that also is a way for those to come in. So I just bind that spirit right now. I break your power in the name of Jesus and command it to go in Jesus' name. Jerry, would you get some paper towels in case anybody needs any? Laura? Okay. Yeah, put your feet flat on the floor. Satan is, you know, used to when you cross your fingers, you didn't really mean it. So don't cross your feet or your fingers, your legs or anything, and your arms. Just put your hands on your knees and don't have any obstructions to the spirit loosening and coming out. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every spirit that's hiding in the female organs in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of incubus and succubus in the name of Jesus. Any spiritually, sexually activity that's been in their lives from the time they were born until this day, any spirits that have entered in, I bind you and command you to go right now. I break every sexual perverted spirit in the name of Jesus and command you to leave the women of God right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of violation of the spirit of the bride of Satan in their lives, I bind you, break your power, and command you to go right now. If that spirit came in by an open door through generational curses, I close the door right now in Jesus' name and command you to go. I come against every open door of false religions, of Hinduism, Catholicism, the Jewish faith, the occult, all spirits of the occult that open the door to the spirit of the bride of Christ, I close that door now. I command that spirit to loose and go in Jesus' name. You spirit of the bride of Satan, go in Jesus' name. All idolatry spirits of the Jewish, the occult, Catholicism, Hinduism, Kundalini, medical profession, any spirits that entered in by use of medicine or procedures or shock treatments, x-rays, Lamaze, sonograms, the Masonic Order, is that what you said? The Masonic Order, the Mormons, Eastern Star, Girl Scouts, any sororities or fraternities, any oaths that you have made in any way, any vow that you have made in the name of Jesus, we come against every one of the spirits that came in at these times and we bind them and command them to go right now in Jesus' name. I speak to the serpentine spirit, that kundalini, that snake that's coiled around, that came in through occultism or witchcraft or yoga. I bind and break the power of the spirit of Satan through yoga in Jesus' name. I command you to leave God's women right now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. A deep breath, blow out in Jesus' name. All kindred spirits, all the buddies that each one of these spirits would bring with them, I bind all kindred spirits of the spirit of the bride of Satan, and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. Come out of the heart in the name of Jesus. Come out of the female organs in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I break every cord of strength with any other demons. I come against every spirit of harm, of destruction. I come against the spirit of the scorpions in Jesus' name. All spirits of destruction, all religious spirits, all cultural curses that came down through your bloodline that we don't even know about in Jesus' name. And I come against the spirit of death and destruction that Satan would have against you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, send your holy angels to assist in the deliverance, Lord. You know what each one of us have been involved in. Bring it to our minds. And Lord, let the deliverance of this spirit of the bride of Satan be complete in the name of Jesus. Come out of their brains. Come out of their minds. Come out of their ears in the name of Jesus. Come out of their mouths. Come out of their throats. All sexually perverted spirits. All spirits of fornication. fornication, all oral sex, all anal sex spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of masturbation and self-gratification, all spirits of fantasy, I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All fantasy spirits, spirits of escapism, go in Jesus' name. Self-gratification, masturbation, go in the name of Jesus. Self-stimulation, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the deliverance be complete. I come against all Indian ancestral curses, Indian witchcraft. Lord, pharmakia, I come against every form of pharmakia of medications that we've taken, that pharmakia entered in and caused an open door for the bride of Satan. Lord, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit. Send your mighty angels of deliverance to drive these demons out in the name of Jesus. Roam around the chambers of their hearts and the chambers of their minds, Lord, and open every closed and secret door and drive them out. Drive out every unholy spirit in the name of Jesus. Witchcraft and occultism, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of witchcraft, mind control. All mind control, psychic control, the third eye. I blind the eye, the third eye of the mediums. Go in the name of Jesus. All gathering information from ungodly sources. I break your power right now in Jesus' name. And I close the door that was opened for the spirit of the bride of Satan to come in the name of Jesus. Leave now in Jesus' name. I come against every satanic ritual that was made over any of us without our knowledge of it. I come against every working of witchcraft that's coming against us without our knowledge. In the name of Jesus, I break every witchcraft curse and every voodoo curse and everything from the world of darkness. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus and break your power off God's women. Lord, loose us. Loose us to be pure vessels. Lord, restore to us a clean heart and a right spirit. I speak to every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus and command you to go. Every unclean spirit, I bind you and command you to leave now in Jesus' name. All unclean spirits, the lying spirit, the spirits of deception, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of deception, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of deception, idolatry. I come against the spirit of idolatry, to looking to something else or someone else other than God in the name of Jesus. And I come against every counterfeit spirit that might be at work in us, Lord. Myself, every counterfeit spirit. Lord, we don't want anything counterfeit. We want the real deal. And we know that you are the real deal, Lord. I ask that you would come and fill all the empty places. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to bind up every scar, every wound, every tear in the spirit man and the physical man. Send your Holy Spirit and fill us. Fill up the empty places. And Lord, I just command that every door that's been opened to Satan be shut now in Jesus' name. Let it be the door that you shut that no man or no demon can open. And Lord, keep us in your will. Lord, keep us in your word. Keep us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us be holy vessels unto you. And Lord, from this day forth, let us look at things in a totally different light. Lord, I ask you to let things that are of the light be light, and the things that are of darkness be darkness. No tricks. And even though Satan can present himself as an angel of light, if he does, Lord, you reveal it to us quickly that we might know it in the name of Jesus. All deception. I just speak to that deception, and I bind it and command it to be null and void in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, I break every ungodly soul tie that we've ever made with people that brought ungodly things into our lives. Every ungodly relationship. Every relationship of control and deception, go in the name of Jesus. Every demonic forth. I break your power. I command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The spirit of lust. Thank you. And if y'all think of any more, tell me. I come against the spirit of lust, that insatiable, panting, slobbering spirit of lust in the name of Jesus. I just bind your power off of God's people and command you to go in Jesus' name. Spirits of lust, all familiar spirits that come and talk to you and give you a false voice or to trick you or to deceive you and to bring you into the things of darkness. I come against all familiar spirits and break your power off God's people in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of loneliness, all spirits of loneliness, oppression, depression, suicide, the deaf spirit, the spirit of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to go. Unexplained pain, go in Jesus' name. You spirits that are causing unexplained pain, I bind you and command you to go. The death spirit, I bind the spirits of Abaddon and Apollyon right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. All like spirits, all familiar spirits, all kindred spirits, fear and terror, torment, in the name of Jesus. I come against weakness, in the name of Jesus. Timidity and shyness, rejection, self-hate. I bind you and command you to leave in Jesus' name. All spirits of confusion and mental disorder, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to go. I break the power of mental disorder and confusion in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you would now that this is broken in us, Lord, I pray that we would be diligent to pray for our children concerning these spirits and cast these spirits out of our children. Let me just say, when you're praying for children, you don't want to scare them. When you pray for a child, you don't have to be doing it like this. When I pray over mine, the very first time I prayed over my children, my daughter was 5 years old, and she cried. When I took her to school or took her to stay with her grandparents, she had this fear of separation. It was really fear of abandonment. I was going through a severe depression when I was carrying her. And the reason she cried wasn't because she was sad. It was because I was sad when I was carrying her. And that spirit of grief and sorrow, despair and depression, all of that went into her when she was in my womb. So she was having the manifestations of my thing. So I heard a teaching one day about spirits being transferred with pregnant women. And he instructed that when the child was asleep, you can just stand at the bedroom door and look at the child on the bed, and all you have to do is just speak to those spirits just like this, and they hear you, and they've got to obey the name of Jesus. And I did that. It didn't seem like it, you know, to me it was like nothing happened, but you know what? She never cried again. That was really probably one of the first experiences of deliverance. I didn't even know it was deliverance. But I was just amazed at the power in that one thing, because she never cried again. That's how powerful it is. See, I had this little vision not long ago, because the Lord told me I was too polite to the devil, and those days are over. But I had a vision, and it was a group of demons. You know, like if we could see in the spirit, we would see. We would see the angels in here. We would see the demons in here. But we can't see them. But in this vision, I could see the demons, and this woman, it wasn't me, it was just a Christian woman, was walking past this group of demons. And when they saw her coming, they all cowered over in a corner, and she walked right past them, and she didn't even acknowledge them. And they all looked at each other like, she doesn't know. And I thought, whoa. They're saying, see, they recognize the power of God in us. We just don't recognize them. And it's time for our eyes to be opened and to start addressing these spirits when we see them. You know, my little granddaughter, I shared this at the last camp. She was out on the porch and being just real sweet, cute. I had this vine growing on my porch trellis or whatever you call it, the rail. And she was picking the flowers. Now, she loves flowers. And so she picked one and she brought it to me. She picked another and she picked another. Well, I didn't want all the flowers off the vine. So after she picked a bunch, I said, okay, that's enough. Grammy doesn't want any more flowers. And she, you know, kind of got that little look on her face. And she went over to the vine and she was going to get another one. And I had a book on the swing and I got the book and I said, come over here and let Grammy read you a book. And it hit me as to what I was doing. I'm trying to distract the devil? I don't think so. I just said, in the name of Jesus. And she went just like this. And just stood there like she was frozen. I said, in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of rebellion to go. You're not going to stay in my grandbaby. Now go. You go in the name of Jesus. And when I got through, she said, amen. But her demeanor changed. I'm telling you, we have got to start using our spiritual power over these spiritual demons. When we see it, we need to address it. So, that's where we're at with all this. How's your back?
It's much better.
Is it much better?
Much better.
Good. Yes. Is it like... You feel a relief of it?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Great. Yeah, they can be ugly. My husband said one time, we were in this little bitty church. It was probably about this big. And we would anoint and pray for people that had illnesses. This is before I really knew about demons. Well, no, I knew about demons because he said this. Because he hears everything that I learn. And people would come up for prayer. And, I mean, this one lady came in one day, and she was just almost crippled with her back. So she comes up for prayer, and we anoint her and pray for her. And she's bending over and doing all this stuff, and she leaves the church. And next week she can't come to church because she's in the bed with her back. And Mike said, he said, you know what I think happens? I think that her pain is not an illness. I think that probably a demon is causing her pain. And when she's approaching the pulpit for prayer, approaching the altar, they say, back off! And they let go. And the pain disappears. And as soon as she walks out the church, see, because just like the vision, the demons know that she is approaching a man of God. The demons know his power. So they're scared, because if he has the knowledge of deliverance and it doesn't go when he prays for the infirmity, then it's caused by a demon, so you go after the demon. And if you cast that demon out, they lose their house. So they back off and let the pain alleviate, and then they think that they've been healed, and then they go back out and the demons connect again. I said, wow, Mike, that's interesting. That's really interesting. And that little vision, you know, kind of confirms that. They know the power of God. We don't know the power of God. We're not using it like we, you know, like we can. So I encourage you to begin to exercise the power that God's given you over. He says in Luke 10:19, I think it says, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. We have power over all the power of the enemy. So that nothing by any means should hurt us. And yet we walk around hurt. So begin to exercise that authority and that power that he's given you. Well, it's 3:00. It's time to go down. Well, ladies, thank you for your attention. And I hope that as you walk out the time ahead of you, that you will see and know that these spirits have been dealt with. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.